Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Our speaker this morning is Dr. Jerry Lawrence. She has a deep love for children of all ages and a strong commitment to faith development in families. She serves as adjunct professor in the Christian Education Department and teaches courses in children's ministry, creativity, enjoys encouraging and building in the lives of her students. Dr. Lawrence brings 17 years of experience developing and overseeing children's ministries in medium and large churches, training and equipping staff and volunteers, and organizing special events and outreach opportunities. While working at Dallas Seminary as an admissions counselor and women's coordinator for alumni and placement, she also continues to be involved in children's ministry and volunteer capacity at her own local church. Her great delight is talking and spending time with children, especially her 12 nieces and nephews. What an aunt is Jerry Lawrence. Would you join me in welcoming our sister to the platform this morning, Jerry Lawrence?
Thank you so much. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who loved to run and play. He couldn't sit still for very long because there was too much of the world that needed to be explored. Too many bugs to examine up close, too many trees to climb, too many puddles to jump in. One day, he went with his parents to a church meeting. They told him he needed to be quiet and sit still. He must be on his best behavior. They were going to see and hear a very popular teacher. How boring, the child thought. He was not looking forward to the long, drawn-out sermon. He would rather be playing in the mud and dirt. As they got there early to beat the crowds and get a good seat, he saw something he didn't expect. He saw a man who looked gentle and kind, who laughed with great ease. He seemed like someone the boy would want to know. He tried to weave his way through the crowds so that he could get up close and see this man. But just as he got close, several men stepped in front of him and blocked his way. They would not let him get any closer to this man they called Jesus. Now let's pick up our story in Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. As we see in this passage, the disciples, acting like bodyguards, were trying to keep the children away from Jesus. Perhaps they felt Jesus didn't have time for them. Perhaps they were being noisy or distracting. Perhaps they were bothered by children who wouldn't sit still. Perhaps they didn't feel the children were worth Jesus' attention. Can you imagine if the disciples would have been successful in their attempt to block the children from Jesus? What picture would that give us of God our Father? But instead, Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Jesus loved children and wanted them to be close to him. He did not want them to be pushed away. He deliberately took time for them. He gathered the children in his arms and blessed them and held them close. Because of my love for children and ministering to them, I've reflected more on this story and have asked a few questions. What was it about children that caused Jesus to say what he did? What was it that made Jesus love children like he did? Why does he want us to treat them with respect and value? As I consider this passage, I wonder, when Jesus looks at children, what does he see? When Jesus looks at children, he sees children who are dependent. From the time children come into this world, they are needy and dependent on others. The study of child development teaches us that there are different stages of growth that each child must go through in order to grow and develop. For example, in stage 1, from birth through age 1, Parents will create a sense of trust or mistrust based on the quality of their relationship with the child. With proper love and care, a child learns to trust and moves on to the next stage of development. For many children, this world can be a big, scary place. They need to feel secure and know that someone loves them. I think that's why children so easily hold on to songs like Jesus Loves the Little Children and Jesus Loves Me and Jesus Loves the Little Children of the World. Jesus experienced firsthand what it was like to be a child in this world. Jesus, more than anyone, could sympathize with children. Verse 14 talks about little children. At a time in their lives when it is so important for them developmentally to know that they are loved, Jesus wanted to show his love for them. And so he said, "Let the little children come to me." Later in Mark 10, verse 37, Jesus explains that whoever welcomes little children in my name welcomes me. One of the most enjoyable things I do each Sunday at church is to greet the children in our preschool area. Our security check-in team believes it's vitally important for us to warmly greet each child. As we talk to them and listen to their stories, they identify church as a place where they are loved and affirmed. When we welcome these children with open arms, we are welcoming them in Jesus' name. We are acknowledging that they are valuable gifts from God that he has created and entrusted to us. When we treat them as a vital part of our churches and families, we communicate Christ's love to them, giving them the opportunity to see Christ in us and, Lord willing, to come to their own personal faith in Christ. In verse 14, when Jesus saw the disciples turning away the children, he was indignant. Their attitude and their action to sweep the children aside was not acceptable to Jesus. In fact, it made Jesus mad. This is one of just a few times where we read that Jesus was indignant. These children couldn't fight for themselves, so Jesus fought for them. He was their advocate. The children in our churches and in our world today cannot speak for themselves. We must speak for them. Whether we work directly with children or on a church staff, we must be advocates for the children God entrusts to us. They are dependent on us. Jesus sees and knows that children are dependent. When Jesus looks at children, he also sees children who are trusting. Young children are naturally open to God and can grow in their understanding of God at a very early age. Sherry Fuller, author and advocate for children, describes spiritual windows of opportunity when a child's heart and mind are most open to God. These windows are best opened early in life. Fuller writes, "Adults tend to underestimate the enormous spiritual capacity of children. Children, even at a very young age, have much more potential to know God and connect with him, listen to him, and have a relationship with him than we imagine. I've been privileged in my work in the admissions office for the past 15 years to read your stories of how you came to Christ. Some of you accepted Christ in high school or college, or maybe later, but many of you accepted Christ as a child. Hearing your stories piqued my interest of how children grow and develop in their faith. And so I chose to study faith development for my Doctor of Ministry research project. It is important not to discount a child's ability to understand spiritual truth or even be saved at a young age. When children are young, they have an amazing capacity to accept spiritual truths at face value. But with every year that goes by, they get a little more independent and harder to reach for Christ. Some discussions may arise as to whether a child can trust Christ at a young age. Let me just say this. Your journey of faith has brought you to DTS, where you will grapple with deep and complex theological truths. But let's never forget that the gospel is also simple enough for a young child to believe and understand. In verse 15, Jesus teaches that children are examples to us of what it looks like to trust God. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." We do not inherit God's kingdom through position or power, or through anything that we do. We receive God's kingdom with childlike trust and dependence when we admit our inability and humbly accept it as a free gift by faith. We can learn from these children how to have this trusting heart by believing and having faith like a child. As part of my research project, I had the privilege of interviewing children and asking them about their faith. I asked them to describe a time when they trusted God to answer their prayers. Their eager and earnest responses allow us to step into their world and see how they are coming to know God. Let's begin with our youngest theologian. This 4-year-old boy explained, "God answers every single prayer in the whole world." One 5-year-old girl shared, "I prayed for someone to get well and they got well." Another 5-year-old adopted boy prayed that God would give me a nice family and he gave it to me. One 6-year-old related her experience. "I prayed I wouldn't have any more bad dreams, that I wouldn't see any shadows. I woke up and didn't see any shadows. Then I knew that God listened to my prayers." At their young ages, they are already learning that God listens and answers their prayers. They are trusting God with things that are important to them. We all do that. For children, it looks different. They trust God for things like going to Disney World and meeting Cinderella, doing well in spelling or soccer, getting a skateboard for their birthday, having a snow day, or finding their lost dog. But they are also turning to God for help when they are sad or nervous. One 3rd grade girl was sad because her mom didn't have enough time to spend with her. She recalls, "I asked God if he'd change my mom's mind to spend time with me, and he did." A 4th grade girl confided she was nervous about flying alone to see her friend. "So I prayed that I would have a safe trip and not be so nervous." Through their prayers, these children are finding that God helps them when they turn to him. Their stories portray the richness of their trust and dependence on God, even as they are young in their faith. Children are the models for us to show us how to depend on and trust God. That dependent and trusting nature is what Jesus sees in children. When Jesus looks at children, he also sees children who are sensitive. Children have such a capacity to love God and listen to what he is saying to them. They also genuinely want God to bless those that are close to them. Have you noticed that many children's bedtime prayers are about other people? "Dear God, please bless mom, dad, grandma, granddad, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends, and the family dog, and the hamster." Now, that may just be to postpone bedtime a little longer. But maybe, have you also seen in their hearts a sensitivity to those who are hurting or sick? When I asked the children if God ever helped them through a difficult time, children revealed how God helped them with the sickness and death of loved ones. One 6-year-old shared, "I prayed for my grandpa, but he died." One 4th grade girl told about a friend whose dad had cancer and died. She prayed for her friend not to be so sad and reported, "He's doing a lot better and is not as sad." A 5th grade girl and her family are dealing with her father beginning to go blind, and she is learning to ask God for help in coping with this difficult situation. Another question I asked the children was, "Do you ever listen to God, and in what ways does God talk to us?" The most common answers were that God talks to us in our hearts, in our heads, and through the Bible. 2 children said that he talks in a nice way, and that he talks really nicely and very calmly. 1 3rd grade boy explained, "God talks to us when we have a choice. He helps us to know which choice is right. Before we make a final decision, he usually puts an answer in our mind saying whether or not we should do it." Now, there was one 3rd grade girl I interviewed that said she did not listen to God. You have to love the honesty of children. But she went on to explain her answer in a way that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. She said, "I think he does talk to us, but sometimes I think my life is so full of other things that I don't really notice." What lessons we can learn from the children in our lives if we take the time to do so. Jesus sees and is touched by the sensitive nature of children. We've been talking about what Jesus sees when he sees children. Jesus loved children and wanted them to come close to him. He did not want them to be pushed aside or swept aside as insignificant. He sees children who are needy and dependent, with open, trusting hearts, and who are sensitive to him. He sees children who are packed with great potential to love and serve him. After all, he created each one of them and loved them enough to pour out his life for them. Now let's apply this to our lives. My last question for us today is, when we look at children, what do we see? Do we see what the disciples saw? Children who are messy, noisy, time-consuming, or perhaps a bother? Or do we see what Jesus saw? Children who are dependent, who are trusting, who are sensitive to the Lord. Do we see children who are packed with potential and worth the investment of our time? I love baby dedication Sundays. It's a special time for parents to stand before the congregation and dedicate their child to God. They are making a vow before the church and God that they will raise their child in the ways of the Lord and invest all they have to see that their child comes to know the Lord. But that's not all. There's another part. The congregation also makes a vow to stand with these parents and promises to help them in the process of raising their children. That vow is a serious thing. How do we carry that through? Through prayer, certainly, but I would also say that we, both individually and as a church, have a God-given responsibility to be involved in some way in the spiritual development and lives of these children. And can I exhort you from my own experience? The years pass by way too quickly. I come from a large family and have the privilege of being an aunt to 12 nieces and nephews. It took me too many years to realize the impact I could have on my nieces and nephews. The oldest two girls are now grown and married, and the youngest is now 10. Don't let those early years pass by without being intentionally involved in the lives of the children God has placed in your life. As we have talked about these things, you may have had in mind some children that you know. Perhaps you work with children. Perhaps you are a parent with small children. Or perhaps your own children are grown and now you're a grandparent. Maybe you don't have children of your own, but like me, you have nieces and nephews. Maybe your friends or classmates have children. We've got some great children on this campus. I invite you to join me in working with the kids in Missions Week next spring. We have a great time with these children that God entrusts to us for the short time that they are here. Perhaps when you graduate, God will call you to be a shepherd or a pastor to the children in your church. At any given time in the Alumni and Placement Office, we have many more requests than we have people to serve in family or children's ministry positions. This can be a strategic area of ministry. I believe each one of us has the opportunity to connect with children in a meaningful way. The question is, what does God want your role to be to the children he has placed in your life? Will you be a shepherd to them, who sees them like Jesus sees them, who understands their dependent, trusting, and sensitive hearts? Jesus is our model and example for loving children and taking time for them. This includes stopping to hold and comfort a crying child, to sit on the floor and connect with them, to answer their curious and sometimes endless questions, and to ask them questions and get to know them as people. Instead of seeing children as a bother and an interruption, we need to see them as Jesus saw them. The boy in the beginning of our story did have a chance to see Jesus up close. He was glad when Jesus took him in his arms and blessed him. This man, Jesus, actually took time to talk and laugh with him. The boy could tell that Jesus loved him. He would have willingly sat still and listened to him for hours because he knew that Jesus wanted him to be there with him. He did not feel insignificant or brushed aside around Jesus. Instead, he felt more special and loved than he ever had in his life. He knew that when Jesus looked at him, he loved him and saw him as someone of eternal worth and value. My question to leave you with is this: when you see children, do you see what Jesus sees?
Amen.
Thank you.